Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Stephen. Appreciate the song this evening. And what a joy to be back in God's house. It's a wonderful privilege to have Brother Cody Jones back there. Brother Jones, at the end, I'll have you come up and pray for us and get the folks to meet you. He's a missionary with Rock of Ages, and we're blessed to have several Rock of Ages missionaries, and we're certainly glad to meet Brother Cody, and we thank God for you joining us tonight, and just got to meet him right there at the beginning. But thank you again for being here at church with us. It's a joy to be back in church, and I'm thinking about this morning. We had a good crowd for all that's going on with everything in our world and our area, but here you are back again tonight, and for a while I thought it was the Browns are the only people going to sit in the balcony, but it looks like a few people joined you, Bobby. Thank the Lord for that. And we got a pretty good crowd down here. Thank God for Sunday night church. It's a joy to be back in church. And I know that we had that hit last week when Brother Ouellette was here talking about churches that don't have Sunday night services. Not my intent to bash on people. I'm just thankful. And I think about the Sunday nights that I've been in church, that the Lord worked on my heart. And it's just a joy to be back here tonight together with you. So thank you. Thank you for being here. And thank the ones, as Brother Danny was mentioning, thank you for joining online, as Brother Danny was talking about, the shut-ins that make it that way. I saw Brother Wampler right at the beginning of the service, and he was down to see his mom, and she watches us, and I'm so grateful. She's such a sweet Christian lady, and because of the live stream, all the work that goes into what's going on, as Dan said, even recording broadcasting the congregational singing, just to make it feel like folks are more in church. And it's a blessing. It's a real blessing. And I was taking this opportunity to tell you that if somebody that you know doesn't have internet capabilities but you'd like to get a DVD or a CD for them, all those are still available. We used to have a little place you could put forms in, but they're all still available. The McGees can do that anytime. Jim Molina will make those. So if you ever want a service or you want them on a continual basis, just let one of the ushers know, and we'll get a better system maybe in the future. But DVDs or CDs, we will make those available to you, and so we'll certainly want to get the word out. That's what we're doing, and it's what we're having church for, to uplift up the Lord. And if we can do that through other ways, then so be it. We praise Him for that. Well, look, if you will, in Matthew chapter 5, and we'll get into the message tonight, and I trust it's a blessing to you. I'm thankful, so grateful for Brother Danny and his wife, and then not only the shut-in ministry, but the nursing home ministry, people that are ministering to people who are in the place they are. And I love that phrase that Danny came up with, shut in but not shut out. We want them to be a part of that. I'm thinking about Brother Jess and different folks that have now for some time gone and ministered, Brother Tim Tipton, and going into places. And it's just a blessing. All of us not known by me, that's for sure. I was talking with some folks here today, this morning. I don't think they're back tonight, but they were talking about reaching out and seeing some folks saved and taking some food to some different folks and leading people to the Lord. I don't pretend to know all that goes on. All of us ought to be finding ways to minister and lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it ever gets counted here on Suncrest Street or not. Because the Lord sees what we do, and I want us all to be on the lookout for that. And thank you, Brother Danny, for heading that up. And if you're involved in that, or you want to be involved in that, rather, the other reason we had Danny come up is just so you can put a face with the name and catch him after church and say, I think I could do something. And I challenge you to do that. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14. Let me find my place here. We're looking at the passage where, verse number 13, where Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? That savor, or the strength, the vitality of it. We're supposed to be salt, and we're supposed to be light, of course. We're supposed to be salt that's preventing some decay on this old wicked world and trying to, we're not trying to save it. We know the end result. We're just trying to prevent some decay and then reach people before it's eternally too late. It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want to preach for just a little while about this subject. Title strange would be this: servant or celebrity. And I can tell you what we need is a whole lot in Christianity is a whole lot more servants. We need less celebrities. We need less important people. We need less folks that are bright lights in big city. We just need more servants for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray in these next 15, 20 minutes that, dear Lord, you would bring our hearts together. And Lord, you would teach from your word the truths. You'd help me teach. But Lord, you would work on the hearts where I cannot go. And Lord, may your word do a great work in the lives of people in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at this passage and we're given some straightforward commands to shine forth as lights in this world. I don't have to tell you because it's been told, you've probably heard 100 times, you are the only Bible that some people will ever read. However good a Christian you are, that's what they think of in regards to that's what a Christian does. Oh, I hope nobody thinks that of me. Well, then we need to change our living because we truly are the representation of the Lord Jesus Christ as we go live this life. Don't tell me that people shouldn't look at you because I can't keep them from doing so. They're going to. They already know you go to church. Well, you're a strange crowd. You come faithfully and you even come back on a Sunday night. You didn't let the nap get you and keep you into that sofa. I read a strange statistic, and here's what's needed for an old person to sleep in the chair. Have a chair and sit down. Well, you sat down, went to sleep, but you got up. And here you are back again. And so you came back and people think you're strange. So I'm saying that people already know. They may not know that you go to a Baptist church. They may not know that you go to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. They may not know all of that. But they know enough about you to know that you've got some church stuff going on. And so you're the representation of what the Lord Jesus Christ wants Christians to be. You say, boy, that's a weighty measure. Exactly. The Bible says you're the light of the world. And so the scripture says that we are supposed to shine forth as lights. But here's our problem. I believe in today's world, Christian people, we have lost the desire to shine. We are quite comfortable in blending in with everybody else. But the Word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 2 that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the promises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So we're supposed to be showing His praises, but I again tell you that our Christianity has gotten comfortable without shining. We have gotten comfortable of blending in. We have become camouflage Christians. You know, I told you about that one fellow that that was at the back door Easter time, and the pastor was surprised to see him. He said, "Preacher, I'm so glad to hear you preach. I too am in the army of the Lord." He said, "Well, it's been a long time since I've seen you here at the church." He said, "I know. I don't come very often. I'm in the secret service." And so you understand that we are supposed to be lights, not camouflage Christians that just blend in. We've said so many times of statements like this, "Well, that person's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good," or "he's a nut for Jesus," or "he's this." And we've allowed a few extreme cases that maybe did do a little harm to the cause. We've allowed them to go way back the other way and not even lift up the name of Jesus Christ. We've allowed them to put us back to where we have lockjaw and we can't open our mouths up for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we don't want to have anybody look at us differently. But I'm saying this evening that we are supposed to shine. Number one, we are supposed to shine. Look at verse number 14. You're the light of the world. You and I are what God has chosen to get it done. You say, "God should have chose somebody better." I agree. We're not that great. But He didn't. So you and I are the ones that God has chosen to shine forth. And you and I, if there was something that I thought we should do, some doctrine that I thought we should adopt, some doctrine that I thought we should change, if I thought you should use a different Bible, if I thought you should have a different doctrinal stand, then we would change it and tell the church about it to get close to this book. But as far as I know, every doctrinal stand that we have is as close to this book, because it came out of it, as we can possibly get. And so people like you are called with the right truth the truth of God, you are called to be a light in this dark, dark world. My question tonight is, how bright are we shining? I'm afraid we've worried too much about our retirement, and we've worried too much about our playtime, and we've worried too much about what we're going to do this next weekend and what we're going to do next summer for a vacation. We're worried about how we're going to have that vacation home in the Smokies. We're worried about this. And nothing wrong with any of those things. As I've told us before, there's nothing wrong with us having things as long as things don't have us. God giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And whatever God's given you, if He's given you $100,000 house or $500,000 house or $1 million house, just use it for God's glory. Bring glory to God through it. If you've got four cars or you're having a hard time keeping the one on the road you got, whatever you've got, use it for the glory of God. Don't be one of these folks that say, oh, I can't have all that because I'm going to take a vow of poverty. Just use it for the glory of God and be a light to this world. Number one, we're supposed to be lights. If I would go to my father-in-law's house tonight after church and drive over there, I'm guaranteeing, I'd bet all the money I have that there's a flashlight in his truck, there's a flashlight in their car, there's a flashlight in their pantry, and there's a flashlight in that junk drawer in the kitchen, and there's probably another few. I would bet you that every one of them are in there, and if you turned them on, none of them would work. You want to know why? He's a smart guy. He takes the top battery and turns it over and then puts it back in and screws the top on. That way it doesn't accidentally get hit and burn the battery down. So you take any of those flashlights in his car, his truck, in the pantry or in that junk drawer, and you take it, unscrew the top of it, old school batteries with 2D batteries in there, or old school flashlight with 2 batteries, and turn it over, that top battery, turn it the right way, and it will shine. He's had too many batteries to go dead because he left it the right way and it burnt the thing down when some pair of pliers or whatever nudged against the button. I'm just saying that flashlight, he wants it ready all the time. Because it's amazing how many times you go after a flashlight and you find what I find at our house. I found 4 of them, but none of them work. Went in the laundry room one time at a house we lived in Rockvale, and I was looking for a flashlight for some. You're never looking for a flashlight when it's daylight, right? Like the one fellow said about the leaky roof, his wife said, "Why don't you fix that?" He said, "Well, it never's leaking when it's not raining, and when it's raining, I can't get up there in that kind of weather." So you never look for a flashlight when it's daylight. You're always looking for it when you need it. You're always looking for it when it's dark. And there's nothing more frustrating than a light that won't do its job. And I wonder what the Lord thinks of my Christianity. Would he say the same thing about me as I say about a flashlight that won't burn? Nothing more frustrating than a light that won't do its job. I say we're supposed to be the lights in verse number 14, but then I want you to see this in verse number 15. The light is there for the benefit of others. Neither do men light a candle and put under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So if we were a class tonight, I would say, class, who's the light who's that candlestick, or who's that candle that's burning? Who's it for? Is it the person holding it, or is it for everybody in the house? Well, according to the scriptures, it's for everybody in the house. And so the flashlight, the light, the light that you and I are supposed to be, is not necessarily for my benefit, although it gives me benefit because it shines the light on where I'm going, but the light is for the benefit also of others because, as the Bible says in the last phrase, it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So in the same vein of thinking that you're a light supposed to be shining, you're a light not only for yourself, you're a light for others. You know, it's amazing when you have some family over, especially now it's getting great time for bonfires and things of that nature. It's amazing how a fire always draws a crowd. That light, that heat, that crackling, all that stuff, that light brings a crowd. But not only does a light bring a crowd for that fire, but it also brings a crowd and it shines for the benefit of somebody else when you shine it out in the darkness and nobody else has one. I'm saying this evening that not only are we supposed to shine, but the light is there for the benefit of others. Benjamin Franklin invented several different items. We remember him mostly for the kite and the key and things that came out from that. But he also, one of the things that's attributed to him, if he didn't invent it, he helped along with it and was some of the first users of bifocals. Many of you have them in here. My sister got them for the first time, and she liked to go get sick, and she just couldn't do it. She was just trying to look up and down and up and down, and about made her sick. And her head hurt so bad that she said, "Forget it." So now what does she do? She has her glasses, and she just picks them up all the time whenever she's reading something close and putting them back down when normal things are going on. So Benjamin Franklin and other people like him invented things not for themselves, not only for themselves. Obviously, they got the benefit of them, but they were used to help generations to come. I'm saying this evening that the light is not there just to be shined for your own self. The light is there for the benefit of others, and I'm telling you what your family needs, your cousins and your extended family, and sometimes even your own spouse, what those people need is for you and I to shine as the light of God and shine into this dark world. And yes, we're supposed to shine, but yes, we're also supposed to shine for the benefit of others. I've had the distinct privilege of something that you've never had, and that's to hold the light for Dave Herdman when he's trying to work on a car. A joy it was not, but memorable it was. My dad doesn't like to work on cars to begin with, and so anytime they're messed up, he's annoyed. I can remember more than once when we had an old Dodge van that had that, we called a doghouse, that engine cover that's in the middle of the van right between the two passengers. And so Dad would have that thing off there, and fire would be starting out of the carburetor. That backfired and blowing smoke all in the back of the van. And so I'd be holding that light for Dad, and then as my eight-year-old self, my attention would wander, and all of a sudden I wanted my attention was over here, and I made the foolish mistake of thinking that my eyes could go over here, but my light would stay shining where Dad wanted it. How many of you know I was heading for disaster? It was like this. I held it there, and I looked over here because Mom was doing something or whatever, but as I would hold it there, I thought I was holding right on the image that, or right on the spot that he wanted it held on, but it would eventually go the way my head went. And my dad, in a loving way, would say, "Here, get the light back. I want you to shine on what I want, not on what you want." He made it very clear that my light was there for his benefit, not mine. And in a very real way, our light is here, supposed to be shining for people all around this church and all in your community, in your neighborhood. It's not there for you necessarily. It'll help you. It'll illuminate your path. It will shine forth for you, but it's there for a much bigger reason. It's there for others. As Danny mentioned when he came up, that verse when it says, "You've done this unto the least of these, you've done it unto my brethren, unto myself." And I don't care tonight whether we're talking about letting our light shine in the wonderful bus ministry of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, whether you're letting your light shine in your community where you've got somebody that you are going to, as soon as the Lord gives you opportunity, you're going to share the gospel with them. It doesn't matter whether you're going to take the invite cards that we've got out there for the harvest party and says, "I'm going to take five of those because I'm going to pray for God to give me five families that will come on the property of this church," and then with the intent of eventually getting them to come to one of the services and have those kids that are out there playing on the stuff eventually come and be in one of the junior churches or Sunday schools. Doesn't matter how we define it, but I'm saying tonight that number one, we need to shine. But number two, we need to remember that the shining light is for others. Brother Cody back here is working with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. And I don't know him except just meeting him very briefly while at the beginning. But I know their ministry very well. And their desire is to shine the light of the glorious gospel into prisons, and now they've reached out to prison prevention and international ministries, but their purpose is still the same, to shine the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ into dark places where they do not have it. The light is there for the benefit of others. Sometimes we are so selfish in our Christianity in this nation that we think that all the truths of the Word of God are supposed to come in and benefit me, and certainly they do. But all the light is supposed to shine and make me this illuminated being so that I can find out all the great things that I want to know, and I can find wisdom for my problems, and I can call unto Him and ask Him great and mighty things. And yes, He does all of those things, but please don't be so selfish that we forget that the light that shines, shines out to a darkened world that is heading for a devil's hell, that we're supposed to shine the light, but realizing that the light is for the people who are in darkness. And they're going to stay there unless we shine the light. Number three, let me give you this last one before we close tonight. Verse number 16, if you look there. After we realize we're supposed to shine, and we're supposed to shine for the help of others, now comes a great quandary. Who gets the credit? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Number three, the decision is, who do we try to get in the spotlight? Or who gets credit? We're on the right track if we're shining the light of Jesus Christ for others, so they see our good works. But now the real battle begins. Someone notices what you're doing. Somebody notices how your family is happy together, how you're not always fighting and kids aren't lobbing hand grenades at one another, and how it seems like you actually love each other, or how your marriage has stayed together when other marriages haven't, or why you come to church. And so some good works have been seen. Some people have seen that, and they've seen how you behave in a certain problem. And in that problem, you were patient and you glorified God and you worked through it and you were kind to people, and folks noticed. The next step is where we sometimes get off track. When somebody says, how did you not fall apart during that tragedy? How have you stayed together in your marriage? How have you raised your children so that they seem to actually love each other? How have you, and then fill in the blank. And you and I both know what Satan wants us to answer back. We want to be like the fellow that says, that wrote the book about the 10 most humble people in the world and how I taught the other 9. We want to say, well, I've always put these principles into practice. We want to say, well, I just thought we should do this. We want to joke it off. We want to give or take credit. We want to do this or we want to do the other. But my friend, what you should do and what I should do in that instance is take it for an opportunity. Look at the end of verse number 16 again. We ought to take it as an opportunity to glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. There's people, Brother Trent, how long y'all been married? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Linda Trent, she deserves a lot to put up with that. And if I ask him privately, I say, how did you do? They said, just tried to put Jesus first. Because we know it's not that he's been easy to live with. Let your light so shine. Let it shine. It's for the benefit of others. But when people do see it, make sure that you and I give glory to God. The Bible says He will not share His glory. And I believe there's been a lot of people who have crashed and burned because they took something that didn't belong to them. They took credit for something that God deserved the credit for. At that moment when somebody says, what's the deal with you? How'd you all stay together so long? How'd you do this? How'd you do the other? At that moment, you decide, do I tell them I have a wonderful God? Or do I post a blog about how I built a light so big and so good that I did a lot that people should be proud of? We live in a very self-promoting world. People start off good, a lot of them, but then they get a little bit of fame, a little bit of notoriety, a little bit of recognition, and it goes to our head. So this evening, I need to ask you the question, do you give glory to God or do you take it for yourself? There's only one right answer. Two answers could be true, but there's only one right answer. And that's give glory to God. We know why, because there's nothing in you or I that's worth bragging on. If we could take these screens up here and show all of the things that you and I don't want people to know, then we certainly know that there's no good thing in me, only but what Jesus Christ has done in my life. Isaiah chapter 42 says, I'm the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. I understand, I think that we all agree that our lives are supposed to be shining. But after you shine forth, are you satisfied with just being a servant and just being like one of those lighthouse keepers? My family and I, we went and looked at a lighthouse earlier this year on vacation. We went down to South Carolina, and there's people that would, this was not a functional lighthouse anymore, although you could still go up in it. There was people that would be in charge of keeping those lights burning, keeping those lenses clean, so it would give the max amount of shine. And my friend, the Bible says here that you're the salt of the earth, you're the light. If our salt has lost its savor, our saltiness, if we've lost our value, if we've lost our intensity, then we have very little good. And the same could be said if our light is not shining. What other job do I have? You know, sometimes in a corporation, you flounder at one job, and if you've got a benevolent supervisor, and he says, let's see if we can find another job that suits him or her better. But if we don't succeed as shining the light for Jesus Christ, what else can I do? I'm not talking about being a pastor or not being a pastor. I'm talking about being a Christian that has the light of God in my life and my heart because Jesus saved me. Where else can I go? Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. And so this evening, are we a servant to where we just shine the light and let God get the credit? Glorify our Father. Or am I one that shines the light and try to get people to come to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church because the pastor and the staff want to see more people there? Everything that we do should be to glorify the Lord Jesus. I've told you so many times that that's why when we redesigned the auditorium, we want the cross to be right in the center. Because there's no place for big shots or people to take glory, because the scriptures clearly said the Lord won't share that. You and I are supposed to be lights. In just a moment, we'll have our invitation, but here's what I'm going to specifically ask that you do, whether you ever tell anybody or not is your business. But I'm going to ask you to ask God to give you somebody that you can shine the light of the gospel to. That you can shine the light of the Word of God to. Somebody specific. Somebody maybe you work with. Somebody that you have as a neighbor. Somebody that's on your heart. I'm going to try to shine the light of the Word of God to them. Maybe they will need to see a good, clean life by you. They will need to see that light shine out. You know, I never like to leave messages where they say, okay, there you go, there's nothing you need to do. Here's what we need to do. We need to figure out from God, who can I shine the light to? Who can I be a help to? And then when God allows us to do it, may we give all glory to Him. Would you pray with me? Father, it's a joy to be in your house. Lord, it's a joy to be back in church. I pray, dear God, that you would help us to be light shiners. Brother Danny, as they lead that shut-in ministry, they're able to be a light to, well, they, Lord, many of the folks that shut in, they're from here at our church, and they're saved, they love you, but they're able to be a shining light to those families. They're able to just be a good witness. And oh, dear Lord, thank you for the people who are on these buses today. Lord, shining the light of the gospel. Thank you, dear Lord, for Wade as he was driving. Wade Yarber's driving his bus, and Marty was driving the other bus for Terry today. And Lord, Doug was driving one, and Mike Nash's bus. Lord, thank you for letting us shine those golden chariots of salvation, shining the light into these areas. And Lord, for every worker that climbed up on there to be a blessing and to just shine the light. Thank you for those that teach Sunday school classes and keep on telling about Jesus Christ. They may not lead somebody to Christ every week, and maybe, Lord, it maybe be is a while since they have, but they keep on shining the light. Lord, thank you for these ones that have heard of somebody again this week that was ministering into in a nursing home and I didn't even know about it. What a joy it was to my heart, Lord. It's just a thrill to see people shine the light. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. When they begin to play, I want to just ask you to ask the Lord, Lord, who could I shine the light to? I believe God will give you somebody. And then keep that on your prayer list to say, Lord, let me shine the light to these people that need it. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, the light of Jesus Christ should shine on your heart tonight. And I pray that you understand that all you need to do is receive Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and be saved. Whatever your need is, I trust that you would do business with the Lord. Would you stand together as the ladies play? If God has spoken to your heart, I invite you to come tonight. Is there somebody so heavy on your heart that you feel bad about not coming to the front and starting your prayer time for them now?
So much. Just wanted to make a real brief announcement. Thankfully, the retreat sign-ups, we are full. And so as much as we would love to have some more join us, we cannot accept you at this time. Amen. That's a good thing. That is a good thing. But we're going to have an Oasis Retreat meeting next Sunday night after church in the Blue Room. For those of you that signed up, that will be going with us on the 22nd and 23rd, if you would, next Sunday night in the Blue Room. And then if we could have Brother Cody Jones, if you'll come forward, please, and close our service. Let's not forget also that all new members and those that are considering membership here, we would love to have you in the Family Life Center just after the service this evening, and be able to tell you a little bit more about the church, get to meet you. If you have any questions for us, it would be a great opportunity.
Amen. Well, we appreciate the opportunity to be here with you tonight. We are the Jones Family Missionaries to America's Prison Systems here in the United States. My wife, Rachel, and my three children, Tucker, Taylor, and Sawyer. And we are on deputation raising support for our family so we can get on the field full-time and take the gospel to those who are lost. There's just shy of 7,000 prison facilities in the United States, and there's over 2.3 million inmates in those facilities. And you would be surprised at the ones from juveniles to 80 years old that's in the penitentiaries that's never heard the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Pastor. And God's burdened our heart to go and to try to win those souls for Him. And we'd appreciate if you'd join with us in prayer and pray that the Lord will supply our needs so we can go and get the gospel out. Amen. Appreciate the service. Appreciate the message. Let's pray. Father, as we bow one more time on this side of eternity, we thank Thee and praise Thee for Thy mighty, wonderful works that You've showed unto the children of men. We thank You for Your precious word, Lord, that You bestowed upon us, Lord, and that You've given us the grace and the knowledge to see and to hear and believe. And Lord, we thank You for so great salvation, Lord, that You've given unto us. I ask You now that You'd bless Pastor Herdman, Lord, and all the staff here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I pray that You'd bless these people. I pray that You'd meet their needs according to Thy precious will. I pray that You'd bless their ministries. May they reach many, many souls. Lord, give them souls for their labor. And God, may they always give You praise, honor, and glory, for You and You alone are worthy. Thank You for the heritage we have. Thank You for our Savior. Thank You for the precious blood. We'll bless You and praise You for all You do in the days ahead. For it's in the name of Your Son that we pray and plead the blood, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Man, thank you so much for being here again tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Daniel, if you don't mind going back to the lobby. If you're a newcomer with us, even if this is your first time, you want to come on over to the Family Life Center just to meet Brother Daniel. He'll take you across that way. What a joy to get to spend some time with you there. But other than that, God bless you. You're dismissed.